Amen. How good to be in His presence. Lord, we just acknowledge Your Spirit here with us this morning, Lord, that You would be in control, You would have our way, Lord, that we would have open hearts before You, ears to hear what You want to say, to receive Your love, to receive Your grace, to receive all that we need. Lord, thank You for just accepting our praise. You are worthy. We bow before You this morning. Lord, speak to us through Your word then. And pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, title here, going back to where we started a couple of weeks ago when I was here, I love the law. And you know, that's kind of not our normal response, right? It's kind of a little bit counterintuitive to say that, isn't it? We kind of, the law limits our freedom sometimes. There's silly rules that we find ourselves should be obeying. You know, you're driving through town at 3 o'clock in the morning and there is nobody around and there's a stop sign. Come on, and I can see that. I know we're there and all of that. And so laws are, sometimes we look at them negative, and let's not talk about taxes. You know, they're the law too, and we're kind of getting into that season that the government has passed the law. They're going to tell you how much of your money they're going to take. They're not asking you, or maybe in a lot of our cases, how much of our money they're going to send back to us. You know, I would just, you know, it just doesn't... And then you hear some of the things the government is up to in that these days. Is that, you know, really right or fair? And so we can bristle against those things. I think I tend to like to have other people obey the law, right? There would be chaos and crime galore if nobody obeyed the law, right? I'd hate to see traffic and driving and things like that. But I also kind of think that I can kind of choose which laws I want to obey. They can post what the speed limit is, but I can decide what's safe to drive if I want to. I can decide, you know, the different things of, I can decide how I'm filling out my tax return or different things like that. That again, so counterintuitive. But as you know, I've been reading in Psalm 119 here just as part of my devotions. 176 chapters. It's usually flyover country for me that I kind of just skip through, but it's divided out into, it's actually an acrostic divided into eight verse sections that each one starting with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And just today, and I think Chris has even got this in the bulletin. She's right on there. Psalm 119, 97 through 104 was one of the sections I was reading this week and mentioned it, I think, in a sermon a week or so ago as well. So let's stand and read this together if we have this here, these eight verses. Oh, how I love Your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. I have more insight than all my teachers, for Your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, because I have observed Your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep Your word. I have not turned aside from Your ordinances, for You yourselves have taught me. How sweet are Your words to my taste, yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. From Your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated with that. There's some advantage, there's blessings there in knowing the law. And let me make this point again. I love Your law could be written or substituted these days for I love Your word. When this psalm was written, the law was all they had. And in the Word now, the entirety of the Word, there's a greater revelation of God. And we're not just locked into the Old Testament and all of its regulations and all of its worship and the formal things of that, but a greater revelation of the fulfillment. Jesus said, I came to fulfill the law. So in all these things where we read, I love your law, we could say, I love your word today, because it's the fullness, the completeness of God's communication, his writing to us. The law itself is lays the foundation for our lives. It's setting the stage for Jesus and the relationship we can have with him. That's what the word does. It's only the means to get to an end. It is not just, much of my point today. It's not just mindlessly reading it, spending time in there and stuff like that. It's kind of like the road we take, right? That where we want to get is that relationship with Jesus, and how we get there is through his word. And with that Michael Card song, there's a joy in the journey. There's a wonder and a wildness to life. While we're taking that journey, while we're headed towards Jesus and growing in maturity in Christ, it's a wonderful road we are driving on. There is beautiful scenery. There are things to see. There are things to learn all along the way. I feel sorry for kids today who's, have the movies in their cars. Oh, they can't sit still for 3 hours. You got to watch a movie and be entertained. They'll drive us crazy. Hey, somehow we learned to sit for hours and just watch the scenery go by. And it wasn't always that exciting, but we learned a lot from that. And it was that we don't need to be entertained all the time. And that's kind of the word is as well. It's beautiful. I love it. The stories that are in there, all that it reveals to us. There's joy in this journey. There's joy in reading this book. But again, that book is just leading me to Christ and the revelation of him. Psalm 19 we had looked at before Christmas. Speaking of, again, the word and the law, I won't go there. It says there, it's more desirable than gold, yes, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. There is life in this. There's blessings in this word. And so there's been the encouragement that with the start of this year to be reading Scripture. And with that, it's the key. It's the essential. You're not going to be successful. You're not going to grow in the Lord without Scripture. Your relationship with him and all of that is just going to boil down then to dead religion or just frustration and things like that. But Scripture has everything we need. It's the starting point. That is how God reveals himself to us in a tangible way that does not change. It's the standard. It's certainly different than the world we have today, and all the more important to do that. So my question is, 2 weeks ago when I was here, we talked about reading Scripture, the encouragement to read Scripture consistently in a systematic way. I know we handed out Scripture reading plans to a lot of you. You left 2 weeks ago with the hopes of, yep, I'm going to be reading Scripture every day. I'm going to read the whole Bible this year, or took a plan that was going to get me through the New Testament this year, or something like that. That's great. Some of you said, no, I've been doing that for years. I've got my own plan. I've been doing that. And that is fine. So my question is, how are we doing with that? If you took that piece of paper home and you're checking those things out, it's been 2 weeks. Most New Year's resolutions don't last 2 weeks. And so, just that encouragement again to we need to be in Scripture. That's where you're going to find that life. It's not the goal. But it's the road, it's the answer, and it's sometimes a long drive for there to get there. So I just wanted to start with maybe a good point, the first, while I still got your attention. Just practical applications for reading Scripture, okay? Just some of that. And I would say, don't be discouraged. If you took home a reading plan 2 weeks ago and I said, yeah, it's someplace around here, or, you know, it fell away a week or so ago, that's perfectly fine. This is not a legalistic rule type of thing. It's a joy. It's a fantastic thing to be in Scripture. You'll find life there. Some parts are a little drier than others, kind of like going on that ride, you know, some scenery's better than others. It's funner to drive through the mountains than it is Nebraska. Or, you know, something like that at times. You know, just how's that going? And again, it's not a law. And if you're struggling with that, maybe you need a new plan. You know, it sounded good 2 weeks ago. I'm going to read through the whole Bible. We have plans still out there to just do the New Testament in 6 months. Or to do another one there is New Testament and Psalms and Proverbs, some of the real meat of Scripture in a year's time. Okay, so if you started out ambition, a little discouraged, don't be. Maybe if you're struggling, maybe you need to find a different translation to read from. There is a whole spectrum of different translations, easier to read, easier to understand, more for study and things like that. So that's a thing. And then there's always the option, if you're just not that great of a reader, you still need to be time in Scripture. We can get an app on your phone that'll read Scripture to you and let you choose the translation you want. Okay, and just to read it and follow along, it'll make a lot more sense. It'll help you to do that, I think, and that's just great to have that technology to understand that this is a that this book should be a passion for us. It's a God's love letter to us. It's God spending time with us, God telling us stories that He has written. He's not just up there lecturing us like I tend to do too often on Sunday morning. Okay, He's telling us stories. He's speaking to us. He's revealing Himself to us. It's God Almighty wanting to speak to you and spend time with you, telling you that here's the end result is relationship with me, your Heavenly Father, that Superman that we talked about, that is going to make the difference in your life. It's going to give you the instruction. It's going to give you the wisdom. And what we read this morning, you know, it's going to make you wiser than your teachers. It's going to give you the answers. It's going to give you insight more than us old people even have and things like that. There's just so much a benefit to that. 2 Timothy 2:15. Says this about reading Scripture: be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. A couple things you'd pull out of there. It is the truth. You can bet on it. It doesn't change. God is truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. And for all the different spins on there, all the different things going on, it is the truth. You can bet on it. You can do that. And handling it accurately, it says. You know, there are a lot of confusion. There's a lot of people that distort Scripture for their own purposes. How often do you hear Scriptures misquoted? Especially by politicians, but I suppose I shouldn't say that. You know, be wary of a politician that's quoting Scripture. Check it out to make sure that's really what God's Word is saying and that. And we know the enemy tries to use Scripture against us. He's very good at quoting Scripture, very good at twisting that Scripture as well, and sometimes adding things to that Scripture. You know, God helps those who help themselves is quoted quite often, and it is not in the Bible. You're not going to find it any place. So that, but uh, uh, be diligent to present yourself approved speaks of being intentional and being consistent in spending time in God's Word. You know, my Bible reading started with a promise I made to God. Just simple enough, not a big program, not checking off things. You got to get through the whole Bible. Started just making a promise to God that every day I would spend 5 minutes in His Word. And to my knowledge, I have kept that agreement. There's some fine print in that promise I made to Him. But I was able to do that and look at where I feel I am now. And there are certainly people that know Scripture better than me, but I know God's Word, and more important, I know the author of God's Word just from that time. And again, and we talked about a couple weeks ago, in 15 minutes, if you give 15 minutes, you ought to be able to read through the whole Bible in a year. But really, if just that 5 minutes is that. And so, boy, you know, I don't want to just lock us into programs. I don't want to make this legalistic. But I want you to really be intentional and be consistent in a way that works for you to be in God's Word, to find what that is. Some of the other practical things that I would say is read it with an open heart and an expectant heart, that this is God's letter to you. God wants to speak to you through this Scripture, and every day. I think it's a good thing as you open your Bible to read, pray that prayer. God, what do you want to show me? What do you have for me today? What do you want to tell me? And He is a living God, and it is a living Word. He is quite able to do that and to answer that prayer. Again, with that open heart, with that expectancy to engage in the Word, not just read the words, but to stop and think about it. It's not the quantity. Oh, I've got to get my 4 chapters done or I'm not going to finish this year, as much as, boy, these 8 verses here that we read. If you spent a whole week on those, you could draw things out of there, or 15, 20 minutes in there to really engage in it, think about it, imagine it, live it out. In there is just so much that. I would say this as far as practical applications as well. These are real life stories. When you get into the Old Testament and the history and stuff like that, those are stories of real people that lived in the same world that we did, faced the same things that we did. So we're not alone. Other people have gone before us, and we're not so unique, and maybe we're not so important either, as we like to think, as we think of those Old Testament things. When you're reading the stories of Abraham, if you're going through the Bible in a year, you've probably been there these last couple of weeks. Think about him there, what he goes through. Told to leave his homeland. Just head out on the interstate, and I'll tell you what exit to get off, is basically what God told him. Are there any lessons? Can we relate to that? And then waiting for a promise. God had given him amazing promises, great promises, but he waited years and years to see those fulfilled. Could that be any encouragement, any lesson for us as we read about Abraham? Or then the conflicts he had with his family, with his nephew Lot. You know, they ran into some disagreements, and how Abraham settled those things, and then Lot kind of went his own way, and Abraham had to go and rescue him. He got kidnapped, he got captured, and Abraham had to raise up his people and go fetch him out and save him, and then to be asked to sacrifice your son. Can't imagine that. Can't imagine losing a daughter or a son either. So, you know, they're even in the Old Testament, there are stories there. Other practical things, you're not alone. I would encourage you, and I've been trying to do this more and more, is have a notebook. Have something by your side. And, And every day in the 5, the 10, the 15 minutes that you spend in the half hour, 3 hours if you're retired or laid up recovering or whatever, write something down. Oh, this is a neat verse I'd like to remember. Or, oh, this kind of speaks to me. Or, I've never seen that before. You know, be intentional about it. The God speaking to you, you pay attention. Be an active listener to that. And what did you hear? What did you learn? And even better then is to share it with someone. You married couples, oh, what a great thing that would be if you would read Scripture together. And at the supper table or the breakfast table or however it worked out, going to bed at night or something, hey, this is what I read in Scripture today. What did you read? Or I saw this really neat verse, or this was really encouraging to me. And share that back and forth. That would be just so rich and help you to grow. Be involved in a Bible study group that where you can discuss the Scripture and read it together with people. Well, this is how I see it. Oh, no, I kind of thought it this way and stuff like that. You will grow so much in doing that, gain from others' insights. So now let's go here. Second point. Why is so important to look at Scripture? Why this encouragement? Why this time? And the fact is, Scripture leads to salvation. And isn't that what it's all about? Salvation. Believing, obeying, and following the Lord Jesus Christ. Being in that relationship with Him. Goes back to what I said a couple weeks ago. How can you obey God if you don't know what He says? How can you be obedient and receive the blessing of the Word if you haven't read His Word, if you don't know what He's telling you to do, what instructions He's giving you, the lessons that He wants you to learn, the warnings that He has? And that is salvation. And isn't that what it's all about? What else has value? The things that we do, the things that we chase after, all of that, and you don't know when you're going to stand before Judgment Day. And it's there. And at that point, the only thing that's going to matter is, does Jesus Christ know you? And that salvation is eternal. Everything in the world is just temporary. Everything passes away. And I'm hopeful in a couple weeks I'm going to see the pyramids. Moses might have seen those pyramids. Moses might have helped build those pyramids for all we know. But you know what Scripture says? Someday those pyramids are going to be dust. They're going to be flattened. They're not going to stand anymore. And what about the things I built? What about the things that are so important to me then? Salvation, the relationship with God, is the one eternal thing. And if that is true, then you know what? All of a sudden, our lives kind of take on a different perspective, doesn't it? I might not be happy all the time. I might have a really difficult life. I might suffer a lot in my life. But you know what? It is only temporary as well. There is that eternity to spend in God's presence, where there will be no tears, where there will be no suffering, where there will nothing, you know, it will be an eternal time with that. So, you know, it's not just, boy, I'm just living for God for the blessings now, and if things go well, I will serve Him. So let's just look at some Scriptures quickly that go with this and prove this point that Scriptures lead to salvation. 2 Timothy 3, 5, 15 through 17. From childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God, profitable teaching, reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be equipped, adequate, and equipped for every good work. Scripture leads to salvation. The sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation. You know, how can you know? If you just believe in me, well, how trustworthy am I? You know, there's all kinds of people out there with, oh, here's the answer and stuff like that. You need to build it on God's word. You can't build it on just my feelings. Oh, I felt so good. I cried. I gave my heart to the Lord. Yes, but what's the foundation? What's the basis of that? It's got to be on Scripture. Whoever calls out to the name of the Lord will be saved. Okay, we need to know that. And from childhood, you have known the sacred writings. This tells me that teaching our children Scripture ought to be a priority. And now maybe our children are grown, but I would say it's one thing to teach your children Scripture. They're going to learn a lot better if you live it. And with that, even if your kids are grown, they're still watching you. You're still setting an example for your kids and your grandkids in on that way that... We don't want to leave anybody behind. We don't want to get to heaven, but our kids don't. Or, you know, other members of our family or the people that are our friends in those things. James 1:21, just the start of that verse. In humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. Okay? Again, the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. Scripture is what brings us to salvation, knowing God. In humility, speaks to me of just being open, open heart again, a humility before God, a desperateness and a hungry for Him. I need answers. This world doesn't make sense anymore. How do I deal with life? How do I deal with the situations that I run into? And all of those things. And the word implanted, deeper than just the surface, where, you're taking the time to really soak it in and dwell on it and meditate on it to where it's having an effect in your life. It's more than just reading. It's more than just getting information. It's more than just quoting Scripture or checking the box that I've got my daily reading done. So much more than that. James goes on to say, and this brings us to our next and last point. Scripture calls us to action. It's not just knowing. It calls us to do that. James 1:22 and then 25. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. And then, but the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. The blessings of doing God's word. And that's why we're reading it, right? So we can know what to do. So he can give us those instructions. So he can tell us his law. Because his law works, and his law works for blessings. There's not going to be any drawback to do that. Doers, you've got to put it into action. There's got to be application. Again, not merely hearers who delude themselves. That word, again, it's so easy to be deluded and to think. The world tells us complete opposite of what Scripture is, what's important in that. And it tells you that 24/7. Everywhere you go, every media you listen to, everywhere you go, the world is telling you something different. And something that's not true. The deceiver, doesn't the deceiver show up even in the garden and say, did God really say? Was the first thing he said. Can you trust God's word? You need to be intentional about that, diligent about it. And look the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty. Wait a second. The perfect law of liberty? That all of a sudden sounds a little bit better than the do's and don'ts and the speed limits and the taxes and all of those things. God is telling us what we can do. He's telling us what sets us free. How to get out of the bondage. How to get out of the corruption of this world. It's not restrictive, but it's a freedom. How can I know and walk with God? like you used to do in the garden before sin came into the world. You'd come down and chat with us and talk to Adam and Eve. How are things going? What are you learning? That's the relationship he wants to have with us now. Again, that good, perfect Father that meets with his children. And abides by it, an effectual doer. He invites us to do that, and then the promise is if you do that, your life will be blessed. We could find scripture after scripture of that. I want to go and end with Matthew chapter 7, a story that we all know. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house. And yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. This is more than just a cute kids song that we've all probably know. We could probably all still do the actions for it, right? Jesus tells this story, paints this picture at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. This is the conclusion. This is the big summary that he's giving for the three chapters of teaching that he has just given. And what is the difference between the wise man and the foolish man? They're both reading their Bibles. They're both going to church. They're both hearing the word. The only difference is the one does it, applies it, lives his life that way, and the other ignores it. Oh, I don't need that. And there is the difference. Putting it into practice, doing the word, not just going through the motions. In this world, the storms, the rain, the floods, the winds will come into your life. Jesus says, in this world, you will have trouble. And we could all agree with that, right? It's all around us, the corruption, the sin, the pain, and all of that. And how do we survive them? How do we that? And again, there's the promise of Scripture. Build my life on my word, God says. And those storms will not destroy you, not take you away. You will be safe. And I believe you will even thrive in doing that. There's a lot of work in building a foundation. It's not easy. You know, you could build a house really quick. You just get the excavator there. They could kind of level off the land pretty close for you, probably 10, 15 minutes, a good guy. And then you can start building. You ever watch them put up a house? You know, sometimes, boy, the house just seems to go up in a day. Oh, look at that. Wow, it's all framed up. The next day, the roof's on. And that, you know, you could build a house really quick. But if you haven't taken the time to put the foundation on it, it's not going to stand. And the house, even with the foundation, then the house can go up quick. But then there's all the inside work, too. Oh, yeah, it looks like it's done, but then you got to bring the trades in and do the electrical and do the plumbing and do all the trim work and all of those things. It's kind of a lifetime project, trust me. Building a house or trying to fix up an old house. You can spend a lot of time doing that, but hey, there's life in that, and I enjoy that. So the question comes then down to, again, so how are you doing reading Scripture? Is it a part of your life? Are you really growing in that? What else are you going to build your life on? What else are you going to build your family on? What else are you going to build your marriage on? Certainly not the things of the world. The choice is yours today. There's plenty of distractions, plenty of things to keep you busy. But what are the results? What's the fruit of your life? How's it going? And the other important question, what's going to be important at the end? The salvation. Might not be rich, might have a miserable life. There's people around the world that suffer beyond what we can imagine, not having enough to eat, or people that suffer from diseases and things like that for no reason. But the important thing is, do they know Jesus? Where is that eternity going to be spent? So we have Sunday afternoon questions. Just that, again, encouraging you to be in Scripture. What is your favorite verse of Scripture? Do you got something, a psalm or a verse that you're just building your life on, that you're sticking to? I wear one of them on my wrist 24/7. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Amen. That's my testimony. And then how are you doing consistently spending time in Scripture? And that's not to condemn you. That's not to beat you up or anything like that. Work on it. Keep going. If you're falling down, get back up. Find a different way to do it, something that works for you. And then what is one thing that you learned from Scripture this week? What has God said to you? He's been eager to talk to you. He's been eager to reveal himself to you. He wants to help. He wants to be involved. And are we taking the time then to respond to him and seek him and seek his word? So, Heavenly Father, thank you for all that you've done. You have sent your Son to die for us. You have given us this word and all of these stories and all of your testimonies and all your prophecies and all of your wisdom and all of your counsel and wise understanding and commandments, that we could have life and have it abundantly, that we could know the truth and the truth would set us free. Lord, that your blessings, you just want to love on us in that, but how can we do that, Lord, if we stay away from you, if we are disobedient to you, if we don't follow you? So, Lord God, you are merciful, you are loving, you care for us, your mercies endure every morning. Lord, not here to condemn people, but to encourage us, and that's your heart, how much you love us. So, Lord, show us, help us, guide us into just being students of your word, handling accurately the word of truth, that we would not have to be ashamed, but that we could be adequate and equipped for living this life that you promise us that would bring you glory and power. So we pray all these things in Jesus' name then. And, Lord, we just want to bless the meal for the people that are staying with it in case they get down there before me as well. Thank you for the food. Thank you for this church. Thank you for each person here, Lord God, that your favor would just rest on them. Open your word to us. Pray this all in Jesus' name then. Amen.